you for your patience. We shall continue with item number 7.
Good morning, Chairman Brooks and Commissioners.
Afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Chairman Brooks and Commissioners. My name is Michelle Chan with the Department of Planning and Land Use. I will be presenting on item number 7, which is the NextG Mount Helix Distributed Antenna System Cricket Major Use Permit. The department is before you today recommending approval of this project. Today's presentation will be broken down into 3 parts. First, we will provide an overview of the project location and description. We will then provide an overview of comments received from the public and staff responses. And then we will conclude the presentation with staff's recommendations. Let us first start with project and site description. As mentioned in the previous presentation, DPLU has received 3 wireless telecommunication facility applications in the Mount Helix area, and all 3 projects are on today's brief hearing agenda. Staff had just presented one of the 2 applications filed by NextG, which is the AT&T DAS facility, and presenting now is the Cricket DAS facility filed by NextG. The proposed facility is a distributed antenna system, or DAS, that will be located in the Valle de Oro and Spring Valley Community Plan areas. The proposed DAS facility is consisting of 3 nodes that will be mounted on existing utility poles located within the right-of-way. The nodes located on Tropico Drive and Grandview Drive are located in Valle de Oro, and the node located on Bancroft Drive is located in Spring Valley. The next several slides will show you a description of each of the 3 proposed nodes. Node 1 is located on Tropico Drive, and the applicant proposes to attach a cylindrical-shaped antenna at a height of 28 feet on the existing 43-foot-tall utility pole, and auxiliary equipment will be at the minimum of 10 feet above ground. Node 2 is located on Grandview Drive. The existing 34-foot-tall utility pole will be replaced and increased to 39 feet. A cylindrical-shaped antenna will be mounted at a height of 24 feet, and all auxiliary equipment will be mounted at a minimum of 10 feet above ground. Node 3 is located on Bancroft Drive and Avocado Street. The existing 39-foot-tall utility pole will be replaced and increased to 43 feet. A cylindrical-shaped antenna will be mounted at a height of 28 feet, and all auxiliary equipment will be mounted at a minimum of 10 feet above ground. As you can see here, the proposed DAS facility will cover some of the gaps of Cricket's existing coverage, which are indicated by the red circles on the proposed coverage map. Next, I would like to go over the main issues raised by the public in the Valle de Oro Community Planning Group. Staff received comments from property owners raising concerns regarding the proposed DAS facility, which include health effects, property values, and safety. I would now go over each concern, starting with health effects and property values. Comments were received raising concerns on effects of cell site on health and environment. As previously discussed, the county does not take comments or information concerning health effects or other environmental effects into consideration due to FCC oversight. Also, no substantial evidence which is relevant to the project area was presented by the opponents to demonstrate that there is a link between the proposal and property devaluation. Furthermore, the effect on property value is not a finding required for a major use permit. Major use permit findings are based on consistency with the general plan, zoning ordinance, and other applicable laws. One of the proponents stated that the proposed project poses a safety hazard because the enhanced coverage would encourage drivers to utilize cell phone while driving. It is actually against the state of California wireless communication device law to use handheld wireless telephone for communications while operating a motor vehicle. The Valle de Oro Community Planning Group commented that the proposed facility is incompatible with the surrounding residential uses. For example, the node located on Grandview Avenue would be mounted on a new 39-foot-tall utility pole, which exceeds 35 feet maximum height allowed by the applicable height designator, and there is no safe parking available. Also, the nodes located on Tropico Drive and Grandview would impact and interfere with the homeowner's scenic views and the establishment of a scenic corridor along Ferte Drive. Due to the fact that the primary function of the utility poles is to provide utility services such as power supply. Therefore, these poles are considered essential services according to Section 1335 of the Zoning Ordinance and are exempt from the maximum height provisions. Furthermore, the proposed nodes are accessory to the primary use. As shown here on the screen are the photo simulations of the two nodes located in Valle de Oro. The auxiliary equipment and antenna would occupy a small portion of the pole and would not significantly alter the alignment or appearance of the utility poles. Parking is also available. Therefore, the proposed node addition would not affect the view shed of the homeowners or impact an establishment of a scenic corridor along Ferte Drive. Furthermore, like the NextG AT&T application, the Valle de Oro Community Planning Group commented that the proposed facility is prohibited because monopoles are not allowed in residential and rural zones. As explained in the previous presentation, the department disagrees with the planning group's interpretation. None of the nodes will be mounted on a standalone pole constructed solely for the node installation. All the utility poles that the nodes will be mounted on are existing functional poles with the primary use of supporting other utility services. Therefore, the node's addition is accessory to the existing usage. The Valle de Oro Community Planning Group further commented that the proposed facility is in violation of the section of the zoning ordinance that requires telecommunications towers be set back at least 50 feet from the nearest residential lot line. As discussed previously, the proposed nodes are not considered as telecommunication towers because they would be mounted on existing functional utility poles that are primarily used for supporting power supply. The department's interpretation is that this section of the zoning ordinance applies to standalone wireless telecommunication tower. If the planning group's logic is followed, that would preclude almost any wireless telecommunication facility to be located within any right-of-way within the entire unincorporated area. I will now move to project recommendations. On June 1st, 2010, the Valle de Oro Community Planning Group recommended denial of the two nodes located in the Valle de Oro Community Plan area due to the issues discussed earlier in this presentation. And on January 11, 2011, the Spring Valley Community Planning Group recommended approval for the node that is located in the Spring Valley Community Plan area. Because the project complies with relevant codes and regulations, makes the required findings, and adequately addresses to the planning issues that have been raised, staff recommends that your commission approve the project as detailed in the staff report. This concludes our presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Beck has a question.
Quick question. Is the Spring Valley node number one?
Commissioner Beck, through chair, the Spring Valley node is node number three, the one located on Bancroft Drive.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we're going to start with the planning group representative, Jack Phillips.
I'll be brief, since we've been through this whole thing. The two NextG cricket sites located in our Mount Helix residential community on Tropico and Grandview Drives have all the same problems of the NextG AT&T sites that we just reviewed. They place uncamouflaged antennas and processing equipment in our semi-rural front yards in the face of adjacent residents. They violate the same intent and letter of the zoning ordinance that we found in the NextG AT&T sites, and the Grandview site is up close and visible from Fuerte Drive, a scenic highway designated in the general plan. Once again, and for the same reasons, the planning group could not make the findings required to approve this major use permit. Specifically, the location, size, design, and operating characteristics of the proposed use are not compatible with the adjacent residential uses and would be harmful to the character of the Mount Helix community. In view of these concerns, and in consideration of the precedent-setting violation of the zoning ordinance section 6980, intent to preclude this type of intrusion into our residential neighborhoods, we recommend that you also deny this major use permit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Quick question about what was your level of communication with the Spring Valley folks, and why is there an overlap on recommendations from planning groups?
I had no communication with Spring Valley on this issue because we only look at things that are in our jurisdiction, and their cell site moved from its original proposed location, and it was not in our jurisdiction. So
no, I guess I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just completely confused here, but there's two planning groups making contrary recommendations on one particular location. Is that wrong?
No, there's a plan. Spring Valley supports the node, if you want to call it, the cell site in their planning area.
Correct. And you're only speaking to two?
Yes.
I got you. Okay.
Because it's not in our jurisdiction.
Exactly. Right? I thought you were commenting on all three, but you're only commenting on the two in your jurisdiction.
I'd like to, but I don't feel qualified.
Okay, and all three of them are bundled together in front of the commission here. And does the commission have the option to separate these out?
Commissioner Beck, yes.
And did Spring Valley, did their planning group actually make the findings, the MUP findings?
The recommendation from the planning group was to recommend approval without any conditions. So no necessarily findings were actually provided.
I see.
They
okay.
found no issues with it according to
fact.
Okay,
I mean,
thanks for
correct.
Clarifying. I'm sorry for my confusion.
No, that was a clarification we all needed, why Jack was speaking on all three we thought. Okay.
Next, we'll have the applicant, and they have an organized presentation.
Good afternoon. Daryl Doherty representing this project. All of our previous comments on the previous major use permit stand. I will not repeat them. I would like to reference the PowerPoint presentation. Those comments for the record are, again, on this record, if that is the pleasure of the
It is, and we appreciate that.
Thank you very
because
much.
Because we'll still allow you for rebuttal.
Thank you. After. I would like to, at this time, though, remind the commission that, again, the Spring Valley community group did make the findings, and that is on the record. So I would like Joe Malone to come up. He's got a few comments. Thank you again.
We expect to hear something different.
Chair Norby, Chair Brooks still, okay. Joe Malone with Next G Networks. The same comments from before in terms of technology. Again, I think this highlights, we're a little perplexed as to why one planning group out of three that have this technology are so vehemently against it. We still stand behind staff. We think staff has done the correct analysis, made the right conclusion. We are not in violation of the zoning ordinance, as Mr. Phillips seems to allude to. And we would hope that this just doesn't fall into the same. We would hope you'd weigh the merits on this project independently. Again, this is a DAS project. It's a series of low-powered. While we appreciate the approval of one, this whole network is, and it really ties, this fiber network ties into the AT&T as well as this, but it's the whole network that really is what's important and critical that we need. So again, the last thing I just want to go on the record that I didn't get last time related to both of these projects, again, going back, is we provided staff with a report where we did some analysis on this SCADA program done by San Diego Gas and Electric. And I don't know if it's County Council to weigh in on it or staff, but we'd like an explanation as to how San Diego Gas and Electric was able to install antennas in residential zones, how they were able to install freestanding monopoles in violation of the ordinance with antennas on them. Because again, staff has told us they're not regulating the entity or the use, they're regulating the facility, which is the antenna. And we understand that, and we appreciate it. And that's why we're here today, and that's why we really have gone through this whole process over a two-year period. Beyond that, again, all of our comments from before stand, and we're here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Mr. Chairman, we have three speakers who wish to register their support, but do not wish to speak: Ted Marioncelli, Karen Adler, and then Erica Hall. And that concludes the speakers in favor. And then in opposition, we have one speaker who wishes to represent, register their position but does not wish to speak. That's Janet Shanley. And then we have three speakers, or three, who would like to speak on this issue. And I'll call the first one up, Mark Shipport.
Hello, Commissioners. My name is Mark Shupert. I'm here on behalf of Grossmont Monhelix Improvement Association, who opposes this master or major use permit, primarily due to its contribution of the added utility pole blight and its negative impact to the aesthetic quality of our community. We also oppose the MUP due to its nonconformity to the existing zoning ordinance. Thank you.
And the next speaker would be Milford Jackson.
Commissioner, if okay, we'd like to zone.
Yes.
Sure.
Sorry. Yes, this has to do with public health, the utility people who work on the poles.
Before you continue.
These sites are dangerous.
Pardon me, sir. Before you continue, we need to know who you are.
My name is Walter Jackson.
And you live?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, please excuse me, Chairman Phillips. Chairman.
And we don't even like each other, but go on.
Anyway. Yeah, this is have to do with corporate greed and people to make a fast buck on our residential neighborhoods, you know. And it's also health and safety of the people working on our poles and stuff too. You know, I spoke to a representative from local 465 IBEW. And they said this is a concern to them, too, you know. And according to the FCC pamphlet, that these nodes on the pole, they have the health concerns within so many feet of, you know. And the one in front of my house on Tropico Drive is 38 feet from the ground, you know, and it's 5 feet within the secondary voltage on the pole, you know. And it'll lower... It's in my estimation that the people want to put this stuff, they have no concern over property values or the lowering of property values. And in that neighborhood, we've experienced a lot of property values declining, you know, over the last 10 years. And I would hope that you would deny this project. Thank you.
And thank you, sir.
And the next speaker, I will apologize in advance for mispronouncing your name because I'm sure I will. Is it Arden... Hanschild, did I get close?
You have to say that louder because he is hearing.
Okay. Arden Hanschild.
Yeah.
Underwood?
Yes, please. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, you have to excuse me. My ears are not very good and they don't do well with sound systems, so I apologize. My name is Arden Hanschild. I live at 10602 Forte Drive. I'm directly across the street from the Node 2 cell site on Grandview. And I oppose this project. It's another eyesore in our neighborhood. This would be the second cell antenna on this corner lot right away. It's 219 feet away from the first site. Cricket had also considered the use of the first site, and I quote, co-location will not be likely due to the number of lines and crossbars on the existing pole. Also, the Sprint installation would preclude future pole sharing. In other words, they want to get their own pole so they can share the rent expense and save some money. Now, in this write-up from the staff, they commented that these antennas would have minimal impact on the area. Well, the minimal goes away when you're putting these antennas on every other pole. And that's what we got here. There's one pole between these two antennas that doesn't have another antenna on it. I don't think that Cricket had done a very good job as far as looking at other sites. They looked at the Mount Helix Park site, which is, I think, coming up on the next item on the agenda. And on page 7 of this green-covered write-up, they said it all. Leasing costs for the three nodes would be less than half the cost of Mount Helix Park. They could care less if they come in and molest three neighborhoods on this project. Also, the map here on page 25 shows the parking and for the maintenance vehicles. Well, that's not possible unless they want to come in and tear down 20 feet of a 7-foot hedge. As far as home values, one simple statement. They certainly don't increase the value. And I urge that you oppose this project. Thank you.
And thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the speakers.
Public testimony is now closed. Some deliberation now. Yeah, thank you, sir. I'm trying to get out of here real fast. No, you're in order. You're in order. I apologize.
No apology necessary, sir. Again, Commissioner Brooks, Joe Malone. Just real quick, we've been hearing a lot of this on both of these projects. We are not in violation of the zoning code. I think that is very important to get on the record. We are consistent with all aspects of the county code and the requirements of this county code in addition to the findings. I think one of the last speakers mentioned something that we're increasing this and we're adding a light standard to it. I don't know if I heard that wrong, but there's no light standard being added to any of these poles. We're not, the only thing we're adding is our antenna and our electronics equipment box. Regarding the health concerns, I know you can't take that into account, but we're low powered, related to workers. We have, their standards. San Diego Gas and Electric is very comfortable with this. We do shut down our sites when SDG&E or Cox or anybody needs to go on that pole, the power is shut down. So they're not operational and workers have to go out there. You know, again, related to the Sprint project, the last gentleman spoke about the Sprint site and their unwillingness to make that available for co-location. I think that just points to our argument. Our technology, because we are a regulated public utility, we have to provide services to any customer that wants them. And again, we're inherently co-locatable. If Sprint wants to come to us, they can co-locate onto this site. So we make that very clear. The last comment I'm going to make, the increase in value or decrease in value on the property of homes, the arguments can be made both ways. You know, there's a lot to be said for having wireless service available at your home for E911 and emergency purposes. And our nodes, again, in addition to San Diego, we go all the way up the coast to Santa Barbara, and we're in Hope Ranch and Montecito of Santa Barbara. There's one of these nodes right across the street from Oprah Winfrey's home. So just as an anecdotal, I'll just end it with that. But we appreciate your consideration. Again, hope you'll weigh this project on its merits and its consistency with the code. It's a good project, and there is no alternative at this point for Sprint.
Thank you.
Cricket, sorry, excuse me.
We understand. Now public testimony is officially closed. Commissioner Beck.
I'd like to follow up on a comment that staff made regarding the exceptions to the height limitations. Jeff is here cold. Was the rationale to provide essential public services? Was that the finding, if you will?
Commissioner Back through Chair, that section of the, well, first of all, these are all existing utility poles, as I mentioned, with the primary use currently used for power supply or utility services.
That.
And that specific section of the ordinance speaks to essential services and including utility poles. And it's actually specifically spelled out in our zoning ordinance.
Okay, maybe I'm just tired because I am. But what I wanted to get clear about was the finding that the reason that the poles are allowed to increase beyond the community standard of 35 feet to 39 feet in one case at least, maybe a 41 in another, is the reasoning behind that is this clause that says in order to provide essential public services. Is that correct?
Yes and no.
Okay.
That and also, as we discussed in the previous presentation, there's also this state requirements that actually require a separation between utility lines and equipment and all that.
Okay, well, see, if there's a trump here by state regulation, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, because as we talked about in the very front end of all this discussion today, there is service. It's just different providers providing service. So this notion of essential public services, in my mind, relates to a service, a singular service, not a commercial distribution of enterprise, if you know what I mean. So I'm just, and since staff did say because it's providing essential public services, I'm just wondering if that's the thinking, because I'm not finding myself in agreement with that.
I just want to clarify through the chair, Commissioner Beck, that we're not saying that the cell facility is an essential public service.
Oh.
It's that in order to put the cell facility on the pole, there's a state requirement that they have a certain separation. In order to maintain that separation, they need to exceed the height.
So okay.
I just want to make sure you have that understanding.
Yeah, that was my understanding before I heard staff presentation, and then again, it's maybe on my end that I'm just confusing things. But thank you for that. So the next thing I'd like to do, if we could, is look at the Spring Valley project and understand what's going on there and if there's any difference and so on. So they obviously reviewed this and they support the proposal. And is that a picture of the Spring Valley?
Commissioner Beck, this is the picture of the Spring Valley nodes located on Bancroft Drive.
And does Bancroft Drive have any scenic designation? Is there anything special about that? Is it the same association with the residents? Are all the conditions more or less the same as we previously teased out?
Commissioner,
is there a difference here?
Bancroft Drive is not a scenic route as designated by general plan.
Okay, is there any other distinctions between this particular facility and the other ones?
No.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Mr. Norby.
Thank you. Just my comment would be, again, we're up here to use our own judgment on aesthetics, and if there's a planning group that doesn't have an issue with the aesthetics in their community, that weighs on me as opposed to the other one that does from an aesthetic standpoint. Mm-hmm. But in the Valle de Oro planning group area, the two poles, both of those they're like the non-guy wire poles. They're the telephone poles. And I'm just confused because we heard in the prior testimony that they couldn't put them on the poles, they had to put them on the guy wire poles. These look just as crowded as the other ones to me, to my blind eye. But aesthetically, on those poles, I don't have as big of an issue from an aesthetic standpoint. I do on the guy wire poles. They're smaller, they're going to increase them. They're not carrying utilities, they're just to stabilize the pole that is carrying utilities. But these two are on really, really crowded, already blighted, if you will, or poles. And so it doesn't stand out as much to me on those poles. Those are my comments.
Well, this has to be raised to accommodate that distance requirement. Is this one that's being raised? Yeah.
Right.
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 Okay.
But I'm
not Bancroft.
Yeah, I understand they have to be raised, but
right.
As do the guy wire poles, but on the question of aesthetics, it's not objectionable to me. On the guy wire poles, which did not have a utility line, because it's sharing a utility pole, utility line, on the guy wire poles, it was objectionable to me. So I like this situation better.
And again, I certainly agree with him because and that's where I went earlier in the other project, that I was opposed to the guy wire poles completely. And this is more acceptable if we decide to do this.
Just for reference, Daryl Doherty, to the through the chair, they are referred to as anchor poles, I believe, those. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we're talking
appreciate
about
that. Their goal is to stabilize
anchor poles that use guy wires to support them. Is that correct? Anchor poles that use guide wires to connect, stabilize them.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve the Bancroft Drive dash site and deny the other two on the same basis as the previous findings we made on item number 6 and grant number 7, part 3, with respect to this Bancroft site, because the Community Planning Groups Association approving it with respect to its aesthetics, that it's already not aesthetically that desirable a site anyway.
Floor is open for a second.
Dies for lack of a second. No, I'll second for discussion.
Okay. The motion is to approve the Bancroft site deny the other. And the motion was made by Commissioner Reese and second by Commissioner Beck. Council, can we bifurcate this like that?
I think you might want to ask the applicants whether or not that's a position that they would be in favor of. It may be that they view it as all one project. They are three different things. You mm-hmm. could theoretically, tease out one of them, make completely separate findings, and then
deny the whole project.
And then tease out the other two and make separate findings. But I think it might be helpful
staff, any,
to get also like staff input.
Staff, any? I'd like to hear from staff first. You can stand there, please, because ultimately, you have any feeling about this process that we're considering?
Chairman Brooks, staff has no preference either way.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Brooks. Again, our preference, because of the need, is one project. We're very appreciative of your consideration. We think this project has different merits, and we've heard very good discussion. We would hope that all three could be approved. In an alternative, we are willing to take the one now and fight for the other ones at a later time.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That being the case, let's discuss. I mean,
it seems to me that even dividing it into item 6 and item 7 was somewhat arbitrary on the part of staff. And if you want to further divide it, based on planning groups, I don't see any problem with that.
Is this something that we would have to accept the whole project or deny the whole project, but then send forward rationale on our finding?
Well, you'd make separate findings for the one you're denying and separate findings for the ones that you're granting.
Yeah, but there'd be one approval or one denial.
Whatever you...
Right.
There are two nodes that...
But we couldn't bifurcate...
Within this group, this okay. Two that are similar and one that's different.
Okay. Commissioner Beck?
No. Chairman Brooks, I would just caution the Planning Commission that there has to be a distinct difference on why you're denying one in one community versus approving another in another community when they're the exact same type of system. Planning groups' approval or denial on an application is not a finding that we make as part of these permits. So it's a matter of community character that you mentioned or impacts to the scenic highways. Those are the findings we have to make. And I just, again, want to caution the commission that if it is a desire to deny the ones in VDO for community character, that there has to be a distinct difference on why you are approving the one in the Spring Valley area, given it's effectively the same type of site.
And that's what I had reference to then. If we did do that, we'd have to state why in our findings.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You'd have to be specific as to why there's that difference.
That is correct. And it wouldn't be based necessarily on the fact that one planning group had one point of view
and
another.
We wouldn't base it completely on that.
We'd have to be more specific.
Sure. Thank you. Commissioner Beck, Commissioner Norby, and if you can stay there a moment, Mr. Phillips, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dilemma that some of us are feeling up here, and exposes, at least in my mind, how I come to my conclusions about community character, because that's the primary finding that I made in the original motion. And community character, which is one of the reasons we have community planning groups, in my view, is that they consist of people who live in the community and who invest their time in identifying those aspects of their community that are unique to that community. Every one of our planning group areas is unique, and every one of our planning groups is unique. So I actually use that as and I'm seeing this in my own thinking now, kind of exposed. I'm seeing that I use that as a barometer for defining what community character is. If we had and we do in the North County Metro, we have planning group areas, or not planning group areas, we have areas that are not represented by planning groups. So the same situation coming to me in an area without a planning group, I would make my own subjective determination about consistency with community character. And I realize that I'm very deferential to the planning groups because of their history in their planning area and the fact that they live there, and have kind of created this thing called community character. Community character is not uniform across the region. It is defined and created, really, by those people that live and care about their community and invest their volunteer time in their planning group effort. So it is a dilemma, because I want to be consistent, and at the same time, I realize that my thinking on this issue of community character, which is my primary basis for not making the MUP findings, was based on the input from that community. So I don't know how the rest of you all feel, but that's my dilemma.
Commissioner Norby.
Yeah, and just to kind of go back to my remarks, I mean, the difference that I saw in the first one is I was compelled by staff's testimony on the first one that utility poles are areas where we locate antenna. It doesn't violate the 50-foot, towards a residential, and I'm compelled by that. And I, lacking any evidence to the contrary, that sits well with me. I did not in my opinion, the support pole was not a utility pole. It was something that held up the support pole, and I had a problem with extending the support pole for the sole purpose of having this antenna on it when there was no utility lines on it, telephone lines on it, anything else. So that was one differentiation for me. The second differentiation for me was the fact that we had a scenic corridor. And I have heard reference in this one that one is close to a scenic corridor. Is it on the scenic corridor? That's a question for staff.
Commissioner Norby, the Grandview Drive is located near Forte, and I can show.
But it's visible from El Forte then.
This is where the node will be located. This is Grandview,
mm-hmm.
and this road here is Forte.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So it's in close proximity. It's hard to tell on that. Perhaps, Jack, you can help us out in terms of feet or whatnot. But it's not on El Forte.
It's not.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes.
Mr. Phillips.
Thank you. To try to help y'all, I must support the motion that you're looking at because it kind of makes sense. The community character of the Mount Helix community is different in general than the community character of this particular part of Spring Valley. Now, there are other areas of Spring Valley that are of equal character to our Mount Helix community. This doesn't happen to be one of them, where the Spring Valley site is located. I would ask you to look at the photograph that I included in my handout of the site I photographed in South Bay. In Mount Helix, our community would find this located on a pole in their front yard to be very objectionable. And it would be in their face every day. So our perception of whether or not this is objectionable versus another jurisdiction, which is the Spring Valley Planning Group, another jurisdiction's perception for the site that's being proposed there can be totally different and probably is totally different. So this is what they plan for these sites. This is what they build for these sites. They gave me the address of this one. Now, I took my trusty little camera so you would see what one of these actually looks like. And in some locations, perfectly acceptable. In these residential locations in Mount Helix, not at all acceptable. Thank you.
Commissioner Beck.
Okay, so I seconded the motion, and then I went through my own thinking and tried to express it. I hope I was at least halfway clear about the dilemma and trying to be consistent. And I am going to continue to support the motion. I think that that is the right thing to do now on a little more reflection, some comments from the other commissioners and so on. However, I would hope that the minutes would reflect. I'm not going to repeat everything I said. I'll save everybody that torture. But I hope the minutes would reflect the thinking behind this so that it's clear that we really dealt with this potential impression of inconsistency in our thinking and our votes today, because I do think that there are distinctions with a difference. I mean, again, we supported a project on consent at VDO earlier today, so there is a distinction. I think it's different, and that's the reason that I'll go ahead and support the motion.
Okay, I'd like to have my secretary repeat the motion, read the motion.
And Tropical Avenue due to excellent community character and aesthetics.
Is that how you and the second?
Yes. One thing I would add on that part of it is the part of the description, the overwhelming opposition for the projects from the Valley de Oro Planning Group, almost unanimous, and the absolutely unanimous approval by the Spring Valley with respect to the other one indicates a totally different approach to the community character by the people responsible for advising of the community character of their neighborhoods in which they reside.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Please vote. I guess we're still by hand.
See if our hands work again, yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Yes.
Okay. We have Commissioner Reese and Commissioner Beck in favor, and opposed. Commissioners Brooks and Commissioner Norby opposed. And would a staff please tell the applicant what this results in? We have barely a quorum here, and two for and two against. Cancel one of you, so that they'll leave here knowing exactly
The motion as proposed hasn't passed. There's there's at this moment no action unless there is another motion made.
So that we have, I mean, there's still the issue of the item before us. This was a motion opposite staff's recommendation. So the applicant at this point in time, that motion failed. But is there still an item before us? Do we need to take another motion or not?
Yeah, we still need to. Well. Another motion.
Right. Okay, so just for clarity, I would move staff's recommendation.
And I would second that. I'll be right back. Any discussion? There being none, please vote. Commissioner Norvin, Commissioner Brooks, in favor of staff's recommendation?
No.
Opposed? Commissioner Beck and Commissioner Reese opposed.
That motion also fails.
And council can correct me if I'm incorrect, but when there is a failure of a motion to pass, then the item is denied.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. they don't have a majority of the vote. Okay. There being no, this item is now complete. Now let's do some house cleaning.
Well, first of all, Commissioner or Chairman Brooks, I apologize for the shuffle. Eric is sick, and so I had some commitments downtown that I had to make. So then Rich had commitments, so I apologize for the shuffle. But
we will discuss this later. we accept your apologies, Commissioner.
There is a January 25th board hearing. There are two items that you your commission considered on these. One is the Mobility Shelter Valley Wireless Facility. This is the water tank facility that was proposed in Shelter Valley. Your commission approved that. The appellant who raised concerns at your hearing is the appellant on that. The other one is the Sajati Minor Subdivision. This was the one where they were contesting the mitigation ratios and requirements for that project. That is also going to be heard by the Board of Supervisors. So if it is your desire to have a representative, that hearing is going to be on January 25th.
I would like to, if anyone would volunteer. Okay, do we have an alternate? Okay, let the record show that Commissioner Brian. Reese, yeah, and Brian Woods will be their alternate.
And just for the record, Commissioner Beck, you had mentioned make sure the written minutes reflect your statements. Just to clarify, we don't have written minutes anymore. We rely on the tape recordings of these planning of these hearings, and those get posted on the website. So everything you have said is going to be on the record. So.
It'd be the tone and intonations and all of that.
Roland, no one in 1 million years will ever listen to.
Thank you, staff. You did a very good job considering some of the difficulties we had today. Thank you.
Have a good couple weeks for a month. You guys, yeah, that's right. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
Cheryl, I'd come hug you, but I'm.
Jeff, how are you?